Well, grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 101. 101 tonight. So I was thinking about the study of Psalms that the church has been and just how meaningful Psalms are. Have you ever just experienced that where you're like, I need to get in the word, but I don't know where to go, and like your go-to is Psalms, and you read through a psalm or two or three or four, and without fail, you are so blessed and encouraged, you know, and it covers so many emotions, the highs, the lows, and kind of everything in between. And it's just so fabulous to be in the Psalms and just be encouraged by them. So I'd encourage you all, maybe you have this already, but do you have Psalms in your back pocket that are kind of your go-to, that you know, you might have three or four that are the highlights, that whether you're just on high or the Holy Spirit and want to praise the Lord, you have a psalm you go to, or if you're down in the depths and just struggling, you have a psalm that you can go to. Think about that, you know, as we study through those things. And last week, last Sunday, Psalm 100. Tonight, Psalm 101. In the coming weeks, 102, 103, 100, 102, 103, all of those have the highs and the lows. So a good place to spend some time reading God's word this week and in the coming days, and read through it once, read through it twice, read through it 10 times. And I guarantee you, you'll be encouraged as I have been. So with that, I would like to read Psalm 101 in entirety, talk a little bit about some things as an introduction, and then kind of dive into some of the details. So just one psalm tonight, 101. So as we start to read through it, I want to call your attention to the statements that David makes of I will or I will not. Very prominent throughout the whole psalm. And kind of what we're going to be talking about tonight. I will statements and I will not statements. So let's read it together. Psalm 101, a psalm of David. I will sing of mercy and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. So this psalm is really talking about things to come in the future for David's life. It's really talking about that. And so it is written at a time either when he was just first coming into his kingship as reigning king of Israel and Judah, or it was even before that time when King Saul was still reigning, because he had been appointed, anointed by the Lord, but much time had to pass before he actually was the king. And so in that, I like to see that there was really a vision that David had of the future and what it would be like when he was reigning, what he would do, what he wouldn't do. And that is so important when we think about the future and what our vision may be of the future. So David wanted to honor the Lord in that. And when he was a king, his reign and everything about him, in his heart, in his mind, in his life, in his house, he wanted to honor the Lord, and he wanted to carve out all of the things of life that weren't of the Lord. So what is a vision? What is a vision of the future? You know, you think about that, and in its most basic sense, it's something that you're seeing into the future ahead, what your future might look like. And it could be a lot of different things. It could be what you want to do when you get to be an adult as your job. It can be your marriage. It could be where you're going to work, where you're going to live. All of these different things are a part of a vision that you would have for your life unfolding ahead of you. So there's a lot of different things that could be there, your hopes and your dreams. And then maybe even those things that you want to avoid in your life. You see those things in people's lives around you, and you're like, I don't want that in my life, in my future. Those are all things that are kind of wrapped up in thinking about what your future might look like and how you will live and your goals and your aspirations, the good and the bad, and how you will handle all those situations. They're preparations for the future. And that's where David was at. He was preparing for his future reign and what that would look like. And that's important. That's important for us as well here in these times. Very important. Proverbs 29 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keep the law, happy is he. And so a vision of the future, what you want your life to look like is important, very important. You know, in the Proverbs verse, the people were casting off restraint. They had no vision of the future and walking with the Lord, and that caused their destruction, their fall. So with a vision, you can plan out those things that you want in your life. Hopefully the Lord's in the center of it all. Without that vision, you know, you're wandering, you're going back and forth, and you're happenstance and random, and you don't have any roadmap. And if you look at the stats of teenagers and young adults today, over the last few years in particular, depression, anxiety, suicide, all of those things are rampant in our community, in our country, and the whole world. And you think about, you know, our life here and now with everything that we have, we're so blessed. We have everything that we need. Physically, money, shelter, food, water, everything. But yet, young people all around us are struggling with that because they have no hope. They haven't thought about the future. And a lot of people say is they've lost their way. They've lost their vision of what the future would hold. So it's very, very important to be thinking about these things, especially as a young adult. You know, what do you want your future to look like? And how are you going to seek the Lord in that? And how might that all unfold? So that's where David was at. You know, he was anointed to be king, and he was thinking about those things beforehand on how he would handle all of those situations, a vision of the future. So with that, let's dive into verse one. You know, the foundation of David's vision here, and at the center of it all, is found in the very beginning, and I love it. It says, I will keep, or I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. And that's what it's all about. First and foremost, David's heart is to seek the Lord and praise him for his mercy and his justice. Now, when you think about that, mercy and justice. You know, as a Christian, you probably think about grace a lot, and you think about mercy. And maybe when you were first, you know, came to the Lord, you thought about his justice. You know, we deserved our punishment, our sin. We deserved hell. That was the right that God has because we have trespassed him. We have not done what he wants, and all of those things. And so you think about those things, but then once you enter into the grace of God, his mercy, it's still important to know where you came from, where I came from, that God Almighty is the just one. He's the ultimate judge. He knows everything. And yet he has been so loving and gracious to call us into a relationship with him. And as a Christian too, it's also comforting to know that we don't have to make everything right. We don't have to solve everything. We don't have to worry about all of the things going on around us that aren't right. We don't have to seek revenge of something that has been done wrong to us, because we know that God is the ultimate judge and vengeance is his. He'll take care of it all. And so it's important to keep that perspective. And that's where David was at. He said, you know, Lord, I want to sing praises to you. I want to speak of your grace and your mercy and your love and your justice. And that really, really, really is the beginning of where God wants us to be. That's the foundation upon which to build our lives. And in that, you know, that's where the value of eternity comes in, you know, and having that vision for our lives and where we want to be, where we, our kids want to be, and all of those things, the foundation has to be upon the Lord. That's where the reward is in eternity, you know, because this life is just so, so short in that. And he goes on there, he says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. He makes a proclamation, you know, my heart's desire and my thoughts and my actions is to be perfect in your ways, O God. And perfect is just complete or whole or having integrity of heart and mind according to the Lord. You know, that's where David wanted to be. It's a proclamation. I want to clean out everything that is not of you and be holy and righteous in your sight. And it begins with our mind. It begins with our heart. And the third part there, it begins in our house, in our home. And when you think about that, who are we most real with in our lives? What do you think? Would it be your husband? Yeah, your wife? Maybe even your kids? You know, the people that really know you in your home, they see everything that you do. They see when you're doing well and they see when you're not doing so well. And many times you think about it, you know, the people that I treat and maybe you all as well, the worst is the one that I love the most, my wife. You know, why is that? Why is that? It's because that's who we are, you know, that's what comes out of us. And so it's so, so important that we start in our hearts and in our minds and in our homes to make those changes, because that's really where it needs to start. And then from there, you know, when we put on the mask and we all of that, and we come to church and we put on, you know, our good selves, that's not the real us, but the real us starts in our homes. And so David is saying, I want my home to be perfect. I want my house to be perfect, complete or whole, righteous, seeking you. Now, was David perfect? Absolutely not. But that was his heart's desire. That's what he was striving for. That was his goal. That was his proclamation. That's what he wanted to happen in his life in the future. And that's a great, great aspiration for us as well. Our hearts, our minds, and in our homes. So, so important. In verse 3, it says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Set nothing wicked before your eyes. Let not anything cling to you. Man, how important is that in our day and age? Because everything is so, so visual. everything is right there visually, and it's so important that we guard our hearts and our eyes. You know, the eyes are kind of the windows to our hearts. And so you see those things, and they ultimately go into your mind and into your heart. And David says, let all of that stuff depart from me. I want nothing wicked to be in my eyesight that would sink into my heart. You know, Job, he made a covenant with his eyes, right? That he wouldn't sin against God. And men, today, absolutely, you have to do the exact same thing. You have to guard your eyes. I have to guard my eyes, because it's just so easy to have that infiltrate into our lives, because we are visual people and we're surrounded by all of that. Now, what do? You know, everybody fails in those things. And it's important to confess those things, give them to the Lord, and move on, and not let that stuff cling to us. Because what happens when it clings to us? Then it builds up, and it becomes a habit, and it becomes a pattern. And then eventually you're off in this area where you don't want to be. That is what happens so, so easily. So it's important to guard our hearts and watch our eyes in that. And that's what David's desire was. In verse 4, a perverse heart shall depart from me, and I will not know wickedness. You know, that cleansing process that happens when you realize, man, oh, wicked man that I am. Take those thoughts captive from me. Cast them away. That cleansing that happens by the Lord's grace in our life. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I don't want any of that in my life, David proclaims. So in the first 4 verses, he's talking about his life personally in his own home. And now he transitions to those around him, what he wants his fellowship to be like, what he wants his community to be like. And that's just as important in our lives as well. As we start seeking the Lord and having him transform our heart and our mind, that sanctification process that hopefully is occurring in each and every one of our lives. And then the natural outflowing of that is to those around us. And so David, as king, it was very important to him that he was surrounded by those that were of common heart and mind, that would serve him in his leadership, in his reign. And so in verse 5, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will endure. The secret slander. Man, the secret slander. Slander is just saying false accusations about somebody that kind of ruin their reputation. And if you do it secretly, it's almost like 3 times as bad, right? You're slandering this and you're doing it in secret. Saying, I don't want to have any part of that in my life. That will not be who I am or who I'm surrounded by. When you think about that, you know, what happens? If I'm the slanderer, talking bad about somebody, false accusations, so I'm a part of it. And then if I'm talking to somebody about it, they're now a part of it. And then there's somebody in between that I'm talking about. And so you have this, you know, 3 people involved in the slandering. And it can be so, so harmful, so, so impactful, so, you know, painful. You know, not only for the person that's on the receiving end of it, but those that are hearing it and those that are doing it. You know, and that's not what the Lord desires, any of that. You know, he's into truth and holiness, and he hates that stuff, you know, the word says And so that's important not to be a part of that. And the proclamation is, you know, David, I want nothing to do with that. I will destroy that. You know, pretty intense passion there from David because he knew what the consequences would be. I won't endure any of that. Drastic actions to purge that from his life. You know, you think about that in our culture, and it's so prevalent, and it's really put on high esteem. You know, the more you're arrogant and proud, and the more you can diss on people and put them down, it's like we elevate them so many times in our culture. And, you know, that's not honoring to the Lord. It's not honoring to anybody involved. And, you know, the Lord is not pleased with any of that. Donald Trump, sorry. So, verse 6, my eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me, he who walks in a perfect way. He shall serve me. So David had a mind for those that were faithful around him. He wanted those to come into his house, into his kingdom, into his reign, and serve him. The faithful, the righteous, those that were trustworthy and honest, hardworking, didn't complain, didn't gossip, didn't slander. You know, all of those things that should characterize us as Christians that want to live unto the Lord. The faithful of the land, and he who walks in a perfect or complete righteous way, he will serve me. You know, the servants of David would be those men that were honoring to God and to those around him. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house, and he who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. You know, David desires to get rid of those that would be, you know, sowing discord among the brethren. You know, it was to be addressed, otherwise it was going to corrupt his reign and rule and spoil everything that he was about. You know, and that's important for us as well. You see the statements there. I will, David says, and I will not, of those things coming up ahead in his life. It says, early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may be cut off all of the evildoers from the city of the Lord. When David desired and planned that all of that wickedness that was so prevalent in the culture around him in Jerusalem, and he wanted to take care of it. You know, he saw it, he lived it, and he wanted to get rid of it, you know, for the Lord's sake, that it would be honoring to the Lord. You know, and it's a battle. It is a battle between good and evil. You know, you saw that last weekend, you know, as we had the booth there. And I only spent a couple hours there, but man, it was pretty intense. We were surrounded by those that were not of common heart and mind. You know, wickedness, evil, all of that. And they made it perfectly well known that they didn't like us being there. You know, that's the battle that unfolds in and around us. And David was making the proclamation, when I'm king, I want to do all that I can to get rid of that stuff so that the Lord is honored. You know, and that's what we desire to do as well, that we would have a good testimony to the Lord and be that salt and light so that when others around us see us, they go, you're different. You're God-fearing. You're reverent. You want to honor the Lord in those things. You know, that would be our heart's desire, and not get caught up in the wickedness and the evil in those things. So, planning for the future, having that vision can be a filter in all of our lives. It can help us stay on track, right? because we want to avoid those things. I won't participate in those things. I don't want to do that. I want to set my eye on the goal ahead that I have, whatever that would be, whatever that would look like. You know, and it's clear from this that David desired to be obedient to God. He wanted to honor him. He loved the Lord. And he wanted to abstain from all of those things that were not of the Lord, that were evil and wickedness all around him. You know, David had that confidence, that trust, that intimate walk with the Lord. You know, and it started as a young shepherd, right? Tending the sheep. And he wasn't number one on the list, but he, even at a young age, had a confidence in the Lord. You know, a trust in the Lord to take care of him when the beasts were coming in. You know, the Lord would stand in the gap there. And as a warrior fighting the Philistines, you know, the Lord, my God, will take you out. You know, Goliath. He had that trust and that obedience there. And he experienced failures as well. And you think of, you know, as king and peering out up on the deck and seeing a beautiful woman and taking another man's wife, you know, a God, the man who was after God's own heart doing those things. But that's the forgiveness that we have in the Lord. That he cried out to the Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew that right spirit within me, forgive me of those things. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You know, and we all fall. We all have those things. But he was not characterized by his failures. He was characterized by his heart, and that was with the Lord. And that's the desire of the Lord for all of us as well. And if David did not have this vision of what his reign would look like, things would have been absolutely worse, no doubt about it, because these prepared him to walk in the ways of the Lord and to avoid all of the temptations and the evil and all of those things that were so, so prominent. You know, without that vision, I was thinking, you know, have you ever been to the coast and you're up on the dunes and have you ever ran down the dunes and you start kind of running pretty slow and pretty soon you're gaining speed because gravity's not working like it normally does. And you're running down and eventually you're running so fast that you can hardly keep up with it. And then you just like, boom, 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 right? Yeah. And that's how life can be if we're not prepared, if we don't have that vision. Things are easy. We start running downhill and it starts spiraling very, very quickly. And then pretty soon we're head over heels and we're totally wiped out, you know, in the mire. But David knew how to pull out of that because he had prepared his heart and mind for all of the challenges that were going to unfold, all of the temptations. And so as he's rolling down the hill, he was able to back out of it and come back out of it. And was it easy to do? No, absolutely not. And for us as well, it's not easy to do, to come back out of it. So the Lord has a purpose and a plan and a perfect will for each and every one of our lives. You know, our purpose is to love him with all that we are, our heart, mind, soul, strength, and to love others as he loves them. And aligning our free will under the lordship of God, trusting in the Lord, leaning not on our own understanding, acknowledging him in everything, and allowing him to direct our paths or our future. You know, when you think about a vision, you know, each and every one of us may be thinking about different things or different time frames. You know, that your thoughts could be tomorrow at work. When you see your coworker, and how are you going to interact with him? You know, the guy who is always saying those things that dissing on you, cutting you down, whatever it may be. You know, how are you going to handle that tomorrow? Preparing for that. I will get him back. No, no, no. I won't get him back. I'm going to walk in the Spirit and have that fruit of the Spirit be exhibited in my life, even though it's something that I want to do, but I'm preparing my heart and my mind for that today, even though it's going to happen tomorrow. You know, that was the sense that David did, that preparation. Or maybe it's what's going to happen over the next year in your life. You know, what might that look like? Give it to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. What would you have for me? And he'll show you those things. And then prepare for them like David did. There's traps. There's deviations. I want to be prepared for those things so that I can walk down the path that you've ordained me to walk down. And I would be successful. I would be blessed because I know that you are with me. Maybe it's your mate choice. You're not married, who would that be? Give that to the Lord. What would you have in the future for that? Your finances, your ministry, your spiritual growth, your family, all of those things can be thought about and prepared for. And let the Lord work in our hearts and our minds so that we are prepared for that. I will seek the Lord with all that I am. I will not let those things drag me down. I will not let that wickedness come into my mind and my heart next week when I'm in that place where I can fall into that temptation. I will call upon the Lord to give me the strength that I need to withstand that. You know, that's what David did. I will not. And those choices are there for us as well. You know, it takes constant attention each and every moment of each and every day. Have you noticed it could be like 2 minutes and you're feeling just great. And then 2 minutes later, you're down, running down the dune, and you don't know how to stop until everything is in disarray. But preparing for it in advance will help us pull out of that and get back up the hill, up onto safe ground. If we don't prepare for it beforehand, we're more likely to lose the battle. We won't be perfect, never will be, this side of heaven. But we know the one that can give us strength, the one that will guide us through there so that we are successful in dealing with anything that comes our way, and that's the God that we serve. So to him be the glory, to him be the thanks, and we are so, so blessed because of it. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, so much to be grateful for in you. And Lord, really give us that vision. You know, whatever it would be in our lives that would draw us ever more closer to you, that our mind and our heart and our thoughts and our actions would be sanctified in you, maturing each and every day. And whatever the case may be for the future, Lord, that we would seek your will and purpose in it. Give us the strength and the boldness that we need to walk in it. Thank you, Lord, for your continuing work. I pray that the Lord would bless you, that he would show himself to you as you finish out the week, that his Holy Spirit would fill you, equip you. In Jesus' name we pray.